Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Doctor Who After Show. We're gonna break down season 12, episode 3, Orphan 55. How does this fit into the Doctor Who timeline? What is the consequences of our own actions in the real world and their meanings on Doctor Who? Let's break it all down on the Doctor Who After Show.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. Hey!
I had to say it on the beat. There's literally a beat drop, and I'm not going to not use the beat drop. Yeah. Hey, guys, welcome back to AfterBuzz TV for the Doctor Who After Show. We've got a whole panel. We're full up tonight. I'm going to start at the other end and introduce everyone here.
Yeah.
It's Dave Child.
I'm Dave Child. I've been here for a while. I like to talk about Doctor Who. I like it. Dave Child.
Adrian Snow.
Hi, guys. I'm Adrian Snow. I've also been here for a while. I like the tenth Doctor, I guess.
Is that going to spoil it? You beat me to the segment I was going to ask, because we have a new panelist who's joining us starting today, and she'll be with us for the rest of the season. It's Rachel Goodman.
Hey, everybody. I am Rachel Goodman. I am brand spanking new. I have been watching Doctor Who since the 2005 reboot. But back when they still had the very originals on Netflix, yeah, I watched those too. So, and the 11th Doctor for me, even though I ruined your segment.
I didn't even ask the question, and half of you have responded to it. I was going to say, hey, Rachel, welcome to the panel so that the audience can get to know you. Tell us who your favorite Doctor is.
Well, Zach, thank you for asking. It's the 11th Doctor.
Yay!
You guys are the worst fam ever.
Sorry. We talked about it beforehand, and you know my brain just like, oh,
I like Tennant.
Yeah. Oh, we're split. We got 11s over here and 10s over there.
Tennant for life.
We're gonna fight now.
Yeah. Whoa.
Wait, who's your favorite?
11.
We got 11s over here.
I mean, I've worn fedoras enough on this podcast that I think everyone listening knows.
Okay, yeah.
Nice.
I own multiple fezzes.
Multiple fezzes.
It's a little giggly so just made after multiple fezzes.
Multiple fezzes.
But yeah, guys, we're gonna break down this episode. We've got so much to go over. I have feelings about this episode. This one that makes you want to just yell at the TV, you maniacs! You blew it up! Damn you! Damn you all to hell!
Writers. Some people just don't even get that reference. They're like, what is he talking about? And that makes me feel old.
Watch the original Planet of the Apes, you heathen.
It shouldn't make you feel old, as I think it's safe to say that no one in this room was alive when the first one came out.
No, but I was old enough to catch it on TBS as a child repeatedly.
Plus, when the new one came out, I was like 10, I think, and they really hyped up the Charlton Heston movie.
The Mark Wahlberg one?
Yeah.
Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
But anyway,
he loves that ape.
We're not here to talk about Planet of the Apes today, but it did seem like a perfect. That is the first thing I thought of, especially when this episode ended, because of the twist. Let's talk about it. That's like the sort of elephant in the room with this episode. We go through this whole monster of the week. What do we call these things?
Dregs. Because they're the dregs of humanity.
No, there's a term for this type of Doctor Who episode. I blanked out on what it's called.
I know what you're talking about.
It's like a monster in the house thing. But that's basically, it's a somewhat classic Doctor Who formula. This one breaks from it a little bit. But what did you guys think? Just first reactions to Orphan 55.
I wasn't impressed with the fact that the message was so, like, they really beat it.
Do you get it?
Yeah, guess what?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yes, like, hey, look what we can change, or maybe not, which is weird because normally it's if fixed. You see something, it is what it is. Yeah. I mean, I appreciated the action, but not the message because the message was so...
To be clear, the message is a good message.
It is a good message.
Like, it is good.
Stop destroying the planet.
Yeah, right,
but like... Yeah, it was a little... It was a.
It also gets a little messy because it felt like... Listen, I've been playing... I'm on catch-up with a lot of video games, so I'm in the middle of Fallout 4. So it, like... The dregs immediately read to me as, like, Death Claws or something from Fallout 4. Yeah. But... So I got that, like, Fallout vibe for it. So, like, it feels like a nuclear wasteland. It doesn't feel like climate change wasteland to me.
Well, that's also the whole thing, I think. The execution wasn't great. I understand what they were trying to do. Yeah. I think they were just trying to do too much. They were introducing too many characters. I was a hard time keeping track.
Yeah.
If that's the message you want to do, you can do... I like those quieter Doctor Who episodes where the reveal, you feel it coming. Like, you feel it, and you're kind of dreading, like, I think this is where they're going, and I hope that's not where they're going. But they didn't really do that. They kind of rushed it, and then they got to the point where it was like, oh, they were humans all along. And it's a little bit on the nose, but it's also timely. I mean, a continent's on fire right now, you guys. on fire. So it's timely, but at the same time, I don't know, sometimes it's a little too wagging your finger. With the way they do their messages.
Yeah, I mean, like, first, I gotta say thank you, Saul, because it's Base Under Siege was the term that I was looking for.
Oh, great. Oh, okay.
Which is it's sort of a Doctor Who term for this type of episode, where you're hiding and the monsters are outside coming in, or in, and they're like, they're chasing you.
Right. Like when he fought the literal devil.
Yeah, but Adrian, you're 100% right. Like, it wasn't subtle.
Yeah.
That was the thing, is it wasn't, they didn't take their time to, like, give a message about global warming, and they've done these episodes about this topic before. Mm-hmm. I remember specifically, and unfortunately this sort of falls in a similar category for me in terms of quality of the episode, but in The Forest of the Night, which is where the plants, like, took over London.
Oh, right. I blocked that out to this day.
It just, like, the episodes...
In The Forest
You didn't
of the
need
night.
To beat us over the head with it. The message was clear enough without the speech at the end where it's like, in case you didn't get it, we're talking about global warming.
Yeah.
I guess they wanted to put some sort of hope at the end, so that's why she was like, things can change, and this is why, global warming. And it just felt like they could have done that even better if she was just all of a sudden happy at the end and be like, oh, no, it's okay, we can change.
Or not. Like, because you mess up the entire, way Doctor Who works. Like, no, you're not supposed to be able to change it. That's where you're going.
That's fixed. Yeah.
This is the really interesting thing that kind of breaks Doctor Who lore to a certain extent. Like, look, time shifts, time changes, but like fixed events in the timeline are a big thing. And this felt like if Earth goes into Orphan Planet where everything's ruined.
That sounds pretty fixed.
That sounds like a fixed point.
Yeah. Also, right? Because they experienced it. I don't know. It's like I always get the feeling that if they experience it, it's kind of fixed.
Well, no, sometimes the Doctor can go back and change it. Like, just like there was that moment of his one with Tennant and he's running. He's like, just this once, just
the
this
water
once.
The Water on Mars one.
Yeah.
But that was the point, was that was a break from, like, how it turns.
So I'm in the chat, too, right now, and I just want to say a lot of people are chiming in about this.
Mm-hmm.
Donna Levesser, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced her last name, says, Doctor Who played by Greta Thunberg.
Thunberg.
Sorry. And then we have Everything Brit 19. No, I knew the couple wasn't going to end well when we first met them. And then Billie Jean Girl 24. She was the one asking about the old couple.
Listen, I got mad respect for Greta Thunberg. I wouldn't have that kind of, like, gumption at that age. So I don't necessarily think that that's what they're trying to do. I just think we, historically, with the Chris Chibnall Doctor, there's been a problem of them being too, like, message, right? You know, and it's just, they could be more subtle with it.
Yeah,
and they have been. That's the thing. Like, their Doctor's usually very good at, like, getting those messages in.
Yeah.
That's what good sci-fi is. Good sci-fi makes you think about the things around you without necessarily projecting it at you.
Yeah.
It can suggest things and let you learn from the story and then take those, like, the things you learn and apply it to real life.
It's like the last couple episodes where we're now thinking about Google and Facebook and all that, like, stuff. And they didn't have a big speech about it, but it was enough to be like, oh, look at all the power that these groups have.
And I think that's really what ruined it the most for me was at that very end.
The speech.
When she was saying, hey, like, it can be good or bad. Like, we have the power to change or we have the power to make things worse.
Yeah.
That was just way over the top. I think that what they could have done to make this message stronger is just, instead of having all the exposition and all the dialogue about it, just showing what actually happened and keeping the action they had with the dregs. I think that spoke volumes. That to me was, okay, this is what's going to happen. We've seen what Earth looks like now. They could have just taken away some of everything else that they added.
And I think it's okay to end on a solemn note. Like, I think it's okay to just be like, Doctor, is that a future? And she's just like, possibly. That's it. Like, that's it. Like, you don't have to give us hope, really, sometimes. Sometimes when you don't give us hope, it impacts us more, you know?
And the thing is, like, you don't have to worry about, like, the fact that, like, well, hopefully in the real world we'll fix things and we won't get to that point. Because, like, look, Doctor Who, it could be that we messed it all up. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's the... Actually, that to me, that's stronger if in this fictional world we broke it so much it was unfixable.
Yeah.
And then you could be like, man, I hope we don't do that in real life.
Right. Yeah.
And that's one of the things, too, that she also said at the end was that it was, you know, probably there was nothing that we could do to change what was going to happen anyway, even if they could, because nobody is listening and everybody is so focused on their lives the way that they are to really see the bigger picture. And so I did like what she said there. That was, it felt very truthful, because ultimately with a message like this, how, no matter how many people are actually, like, you know, activists and speaking up on behalf of climate
change. What are people
change,
actually doing?
For yeah. Change? What, how can people actually do this when you have to, it has to be a group effort. And if people aren't stepping up together, it's not going to
work.
Yeah.
I think my least favorite part of the episode, though, was when they sucked their thumbs at each other.
Let's talk about Bella. Let's talk about Bella a little bit, because I felt like, why are we, by the end of this, I'm like, why are we supposed to like her? Because she's a psychopath. She basically is killing this entire, a lot of people. Because,
to get back at her mom?
Because her mom wasn't there at the funeral of her dad or hasn't been around for her. And I kept thinking, like, that's a big leap to be like, I have an absentee mom, so I'm going to destroy the hotel she built, and I don't care if people die in the process.
Yeah, she's basically a terrorist in this story with a semi-motivated backstory.
I'm not cheering for her and Ryan. I want Ryan to get away from her as far as possible.
When they kissed at the end, I was like, what?
When she kissed him.
I wanted Ryan to be like, no!
You know, I'm good with my sexless doctor. Listen, I was all here for River Song. I enjoyed the River Song storyline. But I'm also cool when there's just no sexual tension. If you're not going to give me my yas and my doctor, then just stop. I don't want to see anyone else having
any kissy
time.
Oh, Ryan can get some.
No,
I think
this said.
Not like this.
This said. Did y'all think Yaz was like...
I don't think she cares.
I think she was jealous of
I think she looks at Ryan like a little brother.
I'm getting brother-sister vibes.
Was that an older sister vibe, or was that a jealous lover vibe?
Okay, so yeah, I felt more like jealous, potentially into him kind of vibe, not older sister. Mm. But like, you know, not like crazy jealous, but just like a little bit of a hint.
There was a little bit of a smile there that suggests like the sister brother relationship.
It just felt like when she was like, "What are you guys talking about?" That felt like such a sister move. Yeah. That didn't feel like a, "Hey, what are you talking about? You wanted to talk to me instead?" You know, that would feel like more of a, that was a, my smooth.
But just butting in at all. Like, I mean, maybe she's just a terrible wing woman. But like,
I just feel like she's teasing him like a sister.
Yeah,
does.
You tease after the fact, man.
Do
you have siblings? Because they definitely do not do that.
As a younger sister, my brother and I like don't see each other that much as adults, but I definitely am intentionally embarrassed the crap out of him as children because he's 6 years older than me. So he started dating when I was like,
especially if romance is involved, you really get in the way of that one.
Yeah.
That's
just for fun.
If you want to get their goat,
I guess I want to think Yaz is like trying to help Ryan and not actively destroy like that kind of like sister brother bond.
You know, you're not trying to destroy them. You're just trying to like get them to fumble a bit, just for your benefit.
Come on, Ryan is uncomfortable enough, Yaz.
I mean,
his flirting skills were top notch, though.
I don't know how you can top thumb sucking. Like, that's embarrassing enough. That and then they were both in on it. That's just weird. That's not what adults do.
Oh well, it's because of the virus.
But still, that's not what we do.
Why would you do that at the end, though? Like, I understood the virus, but
I just don't. By that point, I just think like she is a terrorist. Don't make any sort of loving gesture towards her.
If there's anyone from Shakespearean times watching this, they're like, why is everyone so rude right now? They're all biting their thumbs at each other.
You bite your thumb at me, sir. I bite my thumb at you, sir.
Can we also talk about the magical Mr. Hyphen with a three?
I thought it was a woman.
It was. It matches with the cat. She looked like a cat's character, is what I'm trying to say.
I thought she looked like Barf from Spaceballs.
Yeah. I can see that, but when I saw her, I literally wrote my notes cats without the CGI.
Yeah.
Also, that when you're watching it with closed captions, that three thing doesn't quite work because you see it right away.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how does the three work?
It's right there. Oh, wait.
Yeah. I thought Hyphen looked kind of like the cat nuns from, like, the Tenant years or the Eccleston Tenant.
Right, I like the design of the cat nuns more than I liked hers.
The cat nuns had better cat
faces
than...
They looked like cats.
They
didn't look like cats... The Broadway musical cats.
Right, that's what Hyphen looked like.
This was like, oh, a Matt. Half man, half cat.
Did you see?
On my own, I ignore myself.
Yeah.
Danea Field says, well, at least the radiation gives us all abs. Dorothy Banks says true.
So what did you guys think? The overall episode wasn't great, but the monster design, what do you guys think of the dregs?
I think they could have done... put more effort into the face. Sometimes, just because we're...
Horse faces.
We're in 2020, and so when you see that, like kind of old-school, non-moving face, it kind of just is like, it kind of takes me out, especially when they're putting effort into other graphics around it. It's just kind of weird. Like, they put more effort into the Hopper virus, I felt like, than they did into the... Even if it's supposed to be... I know they're trying to hide that it's humans, but there's so many humanoid creatures throughout space, it wouldn't have.
They do this in Doctor Who a lot. I think a better hide of the budget happens when you actually keep the mouth under wraps, unless they open their jaw for some CGI like effect, like they're about to attack.
Yeah.
So then they open. So when you do have the jaw practically just out there all the time, you notice when it's not moving. Like, you could see that it's clearly just a head on a thing.
And they were doing the zoom-in shot to make it look like it was moving.
I don't mind the zoom-in shots, and I don't mind, like, working around a budget, but yeah. I think when you – the design of having the jaw be a very centerpiece – the jaw is what we saw most of the time.
Protruding from the face.
Protruding jaw. Yeah. It makes it so all of our attention is on the jaw, which should be moving all the time if you're living. Like, the jaw doesn't usually stay very still unless there's a reason. So that kept it from – that actually didn't hide the budget. That made it more obvious.
I did not – I thought that it was pretty obvious that it wasn't I didn't like when they had the full shots where you saw the dregs as a group together. I liked it better when it was more, like, close up, zoomed in. I did appreciate that they kind of looked like they could have been human at some point.
Yeah.
But I think that this whole, like, the intelligence thing in terms of, you know, they knew that the dregs could understand them when they were talking. Mm-hmm. I feel like we could have had more, you know, instead of this, like, this, this race where they're not this, like, you know, this, these
mutated.
Yeah. I feel like they could have been a little more intelligent. And that, you know, without maybe even talking to anybody.
Yeah. I think it's something a little bit more menacing about, like that episode of Buffy where the ones where they lose their voices and it's a silent.
Oh, that's the scariest freaking episode.
Scariest episode.
Whisper.
But just the whisper, yeah. Because it's just that they still look human. And, like, just the way they would smile. Like, there's something with the minimalism of that. You can still get the point across. That might be too scary for Doctor Who, though.
No, but I think even if it wasn't to make it more scary, I would have liked these designs to be more human than they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Doctor Who world, we live in this... It's this universe where everything's kind of bipedal and humanoid in, like, some way. So this, like, is more alien than a lot of aliens that we've seen.
Yeah, there's even an alien callback at one point where it's breathing on her and stuff.
Yeah. I wish it could have been a little closer to actual humans in the design. Right. Because this feels like we went too far. Mm-hmm. Like, either it's more human, or when they did the CO2 reveal, I was expecting, like, plants. Like, I thought we were gonna get the Happening for a moment.
Right.
I think I wrote down it in big block letters. It's the Happening.
Basically,
to be fair, you write that in pretty much every episode. I also
no.
I did like the name, the dregs, though. I think that's
dregs
a good name
sense.
Because it does sound like an alien thing. But then you also have the dual meaning of it being the last remaining thing.
The dregs of humanity.
Now, I do. My other thought was that as they were revealing all of this, one of the things that Cain had said was that the richest of society were able to leave the planet. Yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, so then the dregs were obviously, on, you know, one, people who did not have the means of leaving Earth. Mm-hmm. But then two, somehow they happened to be their DNA was just slightly different, that they were able to survive.
To mutate.
And then finally we had this long-term mutation. So it's like, okay, like I understood that, but I still, you know... I think that, you know, like you were saying, we could have just seen them looking a little more human and more a little closer. I think that they definitely the mutation went too far.
Yeah, the design wasn't bad. It just for me at least, it just didn't serve the twist.
Yeah,
the way that I think it was intended to.
Yeah.
But with that twist, we have a big question of when are we?
So I guess we can bring up if we want to. Just talk about the end of the world with Cassandra right now. We can do that.
Yeah, let's...
instead of who's who on who, if we can get those pictures up, I'm sorry.
Just because like I think we're going to want to spend a bunch of time on this because it's a really interesting thing in the Doctor Who.
Yeah, so with...
with Skin Lady.
The end of the world episode during the Christopher Eccleston years with Cassandra, it kind of implies that this is still in that timeline because this is... billion or something. So it was the rich who escaped to colonize on other planets coming back to watch the end of the world. Mm. And it was essentially like the only pure human left was Cassandra, this sheet of skin you see that would say, moisturize me.
And we also have stuff like when they went to the satellite, satellite 55?
Was it?
I don't think so.
I'm going to double check that as soon as I toss it away to somebody else. But like when they're visiting the satellite, and like there are times in Dr. Cannon where Earth has had to be abandoned, like Space Whale episode, the second episode that Matt Smith did, was when everyone had to abandon Earth on every country had its own ship, and they like went to the stars before they could go home, and there are periods where Earth is uninhabitable.
Yeah.
So I think it can fall into one of those, and then maybe I guess they like clean it up later if we go back to Earth.
And then there's also the whole mutation, sorry, before you go, of Cassandra being somewhat like a mutant, like no matter what, we all still become mutants in some way, or Captain Jack being the face of Bo.
It was Satellite 5.
Satellite 5.
I was close. Yeah, actually, I was close. So maybe it's Satellite 5 orbiting Orphan 55.
I also find it odd. I don't believe they would rename Earth Orphan 55. Like, because it's from where everyone comes from. And the fact that they have forgotten that feels like a big leap to me for some reason.
Is it supposed to be that all these people are ex-Earthlings? Or descendants of Earthlings?
That's how I took it.
That's how I took it,
because they don't seem alien enough except for the green hair.
Doctor Who sort of way they approach like human-looking people is that they are usually descendant from an Earth human, but they've then crossbred with other species, and that's the pure human angle, is that there's just like, there are people out there that look human, they're just not technically, biologically Earth human anymore.
I feel like even when they're giving out the orphan numbers, wouldn't this be Orphan 1 at least? At the very least?
Maybe it gets orphaned later than other planets.
I don't know.
What were you going to say about the chat?
Oh, just that as you were Googling about Satellite 5, F.O.R. Jr. was saying, Satellite 5. And then we have a couple other comments in the chat too. Dorothy Banks says, I would have loved to see the thinking of the doctor when she used it to refuel her oxygen. And I guess, that. But then also kind of going off of that, too, the visions that she has as she's kind of like, seeing what actually happened to Earth. I think that I feel like they would have had a great opportunity to kind of slow that down a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 I felt like there was a lot of missed opportunities in this episode overall. Yeah. That they could have come in a lot stronger to this episode sort of broke with canon a little bit. And not that Doctor Who doesn't constantly break with canon.
It's constantly retconning.
But this felt like it was because of the fatalistic ending, it doesn't fit as well.
And they could have had a little bit. I think if I had one note for the Chris Chibnall years, I would say have patience. Like, I feel like sometimes we're rushing to get like this point across. We're rushing through episodes, and it's like sometimes you can take your time and have faith that we will still watch and we'll still understand and be
along
the ride with you.
That we're, the audience is smart, especially I think the Doctor Who audience.
Whovians are smart, man.
Generally pretty smart.
Yeah.
And we get it. And I know that there are kids watching, and this is somewhat designed this moment to like say like, hey kids, global warming is a big issue. Yeah. It's important. But like, children are also smarter than like I feel like it's giving them credit for. Like they're gonna get the message. It's actually maybe better if you don't preach at them, if you just like let this sort of seed in their mind that they can remember later in life and be like, yeah, we should respect the planet because otherwise we're gonna be dregs.
Yeah, man. Captain Planet worked, okay? Yeah. I mean, didn't work on my parents, but it worked on me.
That's why I got a pet monkey.
I compost. I have metal straws. I recycle.
It's why I try to have a heart, you guys.
And fire and water.
Dave, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, I did like the pacing of this episode, though, especially the beginning of it. I do like how we got into the action pretty fast. And I do like the setup of... All right, they're leaving. I always love it when they're leaving one mission that we never see.
Yeah.
And there was like, ugh, squid. and then they come up with some device to go to the next thing, which was the coupons. I like that. And then as soon as they get there, pretty much stuff goes bad. Mm. And it goes and it happens right away. And there was no like, hey, let's have fun exploring this paradise before things went bad. Because I feel like that tends to be... We know things are going to go bad. We don't need to wait. And I like that it went right into it.
And I did enjoy the action scenes. Even though we were just meeting a lot of these people for the first time, I was invested in them as characters. Mm. Even Bella, in a way, even though I didn't like her, I still, you know, wanted to see what was going to happen with her. I liked that Silas was played by Ben Walker, the kid from who plays Roger on His Dark Materials. Yeah. So that could just be because
the oldest, youngest boy.
Yeah.
I always find because he sounds like he's 20, but he looks like he's 4 years old. And I don't know what age he actually is.
Well, speaking of actors, that's a perfect moment for us to dive into Who's Who on Who. And that's the sound that means Adrian has arrived via time machine to tell us about all this information.
You know what? I'd be back in 1998 buying stocks of Google, okay? So let's start with Laura Fraser. And Laura Fraser is pretty well known if you watch a lot of British cinema. She was also had a recurring role on Breaking Bad for a bit where she played,
She played the executive, right?
Yeah.
It's
been years. I'm sorry.
It's kind of hard to. Yeah.
She was there and then she was gone. I mean.
Yeah. Oh, the
sugar packet lady.
Sugar packets.
So she was kind of like, I guess, roped into the drug world. And then she's also played Lavinia in Titus Andronicus, which is a pretty intense Shakespearean play, also a very intense film. I think it's the one with the tree branches for her arms. That's the picture.
She played the tree branches?
She played Lavinia. I don't really want to tell you what happens because it's pretty intense and this is still
that
a kid-friendly
show. That movie haunts my dreams.
Yeah. But she ends up with tree branches. And then lastly, I remember her from this little movie called Virtual Sexuality, which was about a girl who steps into a virtual reality machine and comes out as a man. But there's a twist. Oh. So it was like a British comedy. I'd never really encountered a British comedy before. I was like 11. I think I should have been watching this movie. There were some kind of adult themes. But I loved it. I still love it. I still have it on VHS because I still have a VCR. Okay. And then...
I love how your Who's Who always has like, here's some things that are known and this is one specific me.
I know.
Me.
So then we go into... Julia Foster, who played Velma. She's more of a theater actress, but she was also in Alfie with Michael Caine. Nobody gets that joke anymore, but she played his love interest in that. And she was also in a show called Holby City.
Wow.
Like from way back. I was trying to find more recent things, but she does mainly theater. And then her son, Ben Fogel, I guess, is well known for something, but I didn't look into him because this ain't about him. Okay, and then lastly, Bella is played by Gia Ray. This is actually like her debut, like television show. She's done a small thing on Disney UK called The Squeeze. I think it was like a web series, and then she is a reggae singer. So outside of her acting career, she's done a whole career as a reggae singer. Her father is also a reggae singer. I think JD Locke might be his name. So that's been her whole career. Mm-hmm. All right, and then if you saw the face of Bo, that's just from when we talked about earlier, the end of the world.
Not her father.
I will always just look at the face of Bo. That's one of my favorite just like ongoing plot lines like from beginning to end. It's just like,
and I think they had to come back. Didn't the next person who came back like completely was like, no, Captain Jack is not the face of Bo. They like got really upset.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, it was like a whole thing that they got really upset that.
Wait, who said that?
I want to say that when what's his face took over,
Moffat
took over. I think he retconned that Captain Jack was face of Bo.
I don't think it ever happened on the air.
It did because it happens. He goes when Captain Jack leaves them after the big fight where it's like Martha and what's his face who she's not married that used to be Rose's boyfriend,
Mickey,
and he goes they used to call me the face of Bo, and he walks away and they go, that was the whole thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that mean he is the face of Bo?
Yeah, he is the face of Bo.
He is the face of Bo, but then they basically tried to retcon that he was.
How did they retcon? I don't remember them ever retconning it on the show.
Maybe Moffat
was like, I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But I don't think he ever did it on the actual show.
Well, he retconned a whole bunch of stuff from
that
time.
And I don't give a dang. You're not taking away the face of Bo twist to me.
That was
great.
Captain Jack for life. Anyways.
If you guys know where that is, Adrian, if you can find it, let us know.
It was years ago when I saw that, but yeah.
But that's going to be almost all the time we have. We're going to real quick do some predictions about next week's episode.
Yeah.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Thank you, John, for hitting the button. Next week, we're getting Nikola Tesla.
Yeah.
You guys excited for Tesla?
Listen.
And not the car. I need to clarify that now.
The
it's
real
weird.
Guy.
I'm going to do my prediction real quick because I only got two things to say. I love me some Nikola Tesla. I love me some Goran Vishnik. I'm here for that episode. You showed me that. I was like, done. You don't even have to say anything. Just show a picture of him. That could be the whole episode, and I'd be good to go.
I hope the bad guy is Edison.
He better be.
And I hope he uses an elephant to exact his revenge. Edison killed an elephant. People need to know about this.
It's a whole episode on Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, I was about to be like, Dave, you've watched Bob's Burgers too many times.
It's also, I know history.
It's also real.
And the current war, too, if you guys have recently seen that film. I'm excited to see what they do with Tesla and, you know, how they portray him, because it did not look like it was going to go well. So I'm just excited just to see Tesla in this.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can safely predict things will go wrong for Nikola Tesla.
They always did.
Either that or he's the reason things are going wrong.
Hopefully not.
I kind of feel like Doctor Who is going to, like, respect Tesla as, like,
Says, like, you're a liar at one point.
She does. But maybe I think it's a misdirect.
Yeah.
Or maybe this is Doctor Who calling him out on the elephant thing.
That was Nikola.
That was Edison. Maybe it's, but maybe she's talking to Edison, which is my cover for accidentally saying the wrong thing. all right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Doctor Who After Show. I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Be sure to check out one of the other podcasts I do, which is called Ships in the Night and is super weird, where we take characters from different universes and we just cross them over to some fandom love fiction. We did the 13th Doctor with Zia Anderson, where we crossed had her fall in love with Dr. Niles Crane. That's the kind of shipping we do on Ships in the Night. Rachel, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Rach Goodman or on my author Instagram account at Rachel Radner Author. If you are a fan of Ray Donovan or The Young and the Restless or Stumptown, you can find me on those AfterBuzz shows as well.
I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Miss Adrian Snow. You can also catch me coming this Thursday for the Magicians After Show on AfterBuzz TV. And then probably in February with Rachel, possibly, for the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV.
And I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MR Dave Child on the Twitters and the Instagrams and DaveChild.com. And also, I'll be returning for Legends of Tomorrow for more timey-wimey fun if you want to catch me there on AfterBuzz. I'm Dave Child.
Don't miss it, because you'll have a personal crisis. Hey, guys, this has been the Doctor Who After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
Bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.